Seaman and Shepherd on a Monday on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN. I do love that song. Good way to start the 3 o'clock hour.
It's just from Guardians of the Galaxy.
It was good before that,
yeah.
Too.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it's a great song.
The movie enhanced it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes that does happen. You like a song, and then you hear it in a movie, and then it you know, I agree with you. It does get better sometimes when it's in a movie.
Who was it that turned to what's the name in the last Avengers movie and said, "So he's an idiot"? As he's dancing through the way. Remember they went back in time?
Was it Drax?
Somebody turned to Drax and said, who was with Drax when they went back in time to get that stone?
That was, spoiler alert.
Oh, please.
How long ago was that?
But he's all you see him is dancing because he's got the headphones on, so you hear the music at first, and then cut. It's just silence. He's dancing.
He was with Mantis? What's her name? Wasn't he?
The one that's hideously ugly?
She turned to Drax and goes,
I thought you were really calling her that.
No, the other guy, the big, strong, bald guy is I don't know names. I'm horrible at names. Yeah. Still a lot to get to here. We still haven't scratched the surface on the NFL with the Ravens, the 49ers, and the Falcons lost to the Cardinals. That was hilarious. All that coming up.
Good game.
It was. Matt Bryan didn't think so.
No. Poor hold.
And more, was it?
That was leaning.
It was leaning, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it
had a hard lean to the right.
Yeah. So we'll get to all that, plus more college football news and another OJ tweet here in the 3 o'clock hour on Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. But right now it's time for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
LSU has moved up to number 2 in the AP college football poll, giving the SEC the top 2 teams in the country for the 29th time. They trail number 1 Alabama less than a month before they meet up in Tuscaloosa. Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, they round out your top 5. The Gators fell to number 9 after their loss in Death Valley Saturday night. Game 3 of the NLCS from D.C. starts tonight. Nats hold a 2-0 series lead. First pitch 7:38 on TBS and 99.3 ESPN at 7:30. We'll have the Packers hosting the Lions.
Yeah, I'm all over it. Don't anybody bother me. 8:15. I'm shutting it down.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's the game of the century.
How about yesterday? I didn't realize. Now the Steelers' adopted song is Renegade by Styx. I didn't know this. That got blared over the L.A. Speakers last night.
I got a problem with that.
Yeah. I don't know. Chargers offensive lineman Forrest Lamb, quote, "We're used to not having any fans here. It does suck, though, when you're playing their music in the fourth quarter. We're the ones at home. I don't know who's in charge of that, but they should probably be fired."
Touche. I got mad when I was a radio host in Houston and the Red Sox came in to play and they would do Sweet Caroline in the seventh inning at Minute Maid. I thought that was ridiculous. I agree with them.
Atrocious.
Well,
the only time that was acceptable was in 2013 after the marathon bombing. Every stadium did it as a tribute. Every stadium did it that year as a tribute. But I don't think it was 2013.
Well, now you're making me look bad.
Well, if it was 2013, then
maybe it was 2013.
Hold on, let me do some quick math.
Maybe.
That's the only reason why.
I think I was fired by then. I don't think it was me. All right.
But the opening of Renegade blared over the loudspeakers at Dignity Health Sports Park with the full intention of morphing into, of course, Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley, but
solid song.
It never happened.
It was Nebula and War Machine going back in time. Everyone's really helping us out on the text line.
All right. Our textures are on top of it.
Appreciate it, guys.
Staying in the division, the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, 236 through the air, 152 on the ground. Is this, again, I keep asking every week, what is the new offense with John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson? Is this it? I mean, it was pretty effective yesterday, but I don't know if it's going to speak well to him being around the league a long time.
I mean this with all due respect. It's just you can't have the same game plan every single week. You can't. I mean, you can't.
But I mean, we are exposing him a lot to injury, not necessarily week from week, but almost. We've never seen a running back mix up passing and running like this since, I think, Vic.
If your overall conclusion is he's going to get hurt, I agree with you. He's going to get hurt sooner rather than later. 19 rushes. It's amazing it didn't happen in that game yesterday. Especially how it started with Cincinnati running the opening kickoff back for a touchdown.
But we had this conversation before the season started, and if you're drafting Lamar Jackson, you know that a big part of his success is going to come through his legs. So to take that away from him and try to transform him into some sort of pocket passer, it's not going to work out for you. So do you want five or 6 years with peak Lamar Jackson, or do you maybe want to stretch it to a 10, 11 years with the guy who's like 75% of what he actually could be if you let him go out and run?
You took the words out of my mouth. You got Cam Newton is what you got.
Right. Yeah.
Done by 30.
Yeah.
And it looks great against Cincinnati, and it's looked great against Miami, and it's looked pretty good against Arizona, too. They lost to Kansas City. I forget what his numbers are there. So next week they're at Seattle.
Another tough game.
Yeah, another tough game. Then they're home against New England, at Cincinnati, home versus Houston, at the Rams, and the home versus San Fran. I mean, some of the better defensive teams, I would think he's going to have a much more difficult time running like that. Yep. It's great against the Bengals and others. But I think he's smart enough to realize the teams he's going up against and the chances that he takes. I think he does. So when he goes up against some of the better run defense teams, he's going to have to say, Harbaugh's going to have to say, look, let's really look to pass here more than you
but
running and trying
I mean,
to
he's
yourself.
Got three games on his schedule where you say, really good defense.
Yeah.
He's got three.
Yeah.
And the Patriots on November 3rd, that's a Sunday night game.
Yeah.
Home for the Niners on December 1st and at Buffalo on December 8th.
And at Seattle coming up soon, which is not, it's not Seattle.
It's not a
boom.
Great it's not defense. A great,
but still, it's a physical defense, and you don't want to, I wouldn't want to be running up and down the field if I were him on that stadium.
Yeah.
I kind of compare that defense to like what the Browns got. Like, it's a good defense.
It's a hard-hitting defense, but they're not going to shut you out.
No, exactly. Yeah. This isn't San Francisco, this isn't Buffalo, and this isn't New England.
Let's talk about San Francisco for a moment. Okay, so they go in and beat the Rams at Los Angeles 20-7.
Two offensive linemen out.
Jimmy G still not looking great.
Hasn't had to.
No, and against a Rams team that is getting to be pretty desperate, I will tell you this. I remember when they lost two in a row last week. Sean McVay said it's gut check time, and now they lose a third one, and now Jared Goff says it's gut check time. Which is it? You guys are on a going rolling the wrong way here. It's like the post Super Bowl blues.
I thought Jimmy G ran for a touchdown. He had a pick, but he was 24-33, 243 yards. I thought overall, in that environment, tough environment.
But is he the reason they're winning?
I'm trying to put my
thumb on this team.
I think it's been a pretty great defensive team, one of the best in the NFL. He's been pretty good at quarterback. He hasn't been great, but he's been pretty good. And they've had a pretty decent running game as well. I mean, Breed only had 36 yards compared to what he had, but still they rushed for over 100 yards as a team. It's a combination. You don't have to be great in one area if you're pretty good in all three phases of the game.
The Rams are 11th in the NFC right now.
Yeah, and they're going to be about there, I think, tomorrow when the CNotes NFL Power Rankings come out as well.
We talk about it, man.
11th in what? Offense or 11th in
the NFC?
Overall.
Oh.
Like in record. Like if it were to end today.
They'd be all 11 seed
today. Yeah, I thought you, the Rams, absolutely.
And you look at how that division is shaping up with the Niners at 5-0 and Seattle at 5-1.
Season's getting away from the Rams right now.
This looks bleak moving forward for Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many times do we say it every year? It is tough for the Super Bowl teams to get back to the playoffs, let alone get back to the Super Bowl.
Todd Gurley did not
play. For most of them.
Still hurt again, and he had to evacuate his home with the wildfires in Southern
Rams
California.
Rams didn't manage a completion longer than 12 yards. 0-9 on third down and 0-4 on fourth down.
On the last fourth down of the game for Los Angeles, Everett is running up the side of the field on fourth and six, fourth and five or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jared Goff just misses him.
This looks like Jeff Fisher, Jared Goff.
You got to put that ball on the money right there, and that's not just a first down; that's a touchdown if you put it on the money.
Yeah.
So what's wrong overthrew him there.
Now he made those He made those plays last year. In fact, he made those plays the last 2 years. What's different? What's going on with him?
He's just a little off. It's all take game of inches. Hate to sound cliche-ish, but they don't look like they look like a different team.
Yeah, they do.
Well, and in his defense, you look at their losses. He puts up. Against the Buccaneers, they score, 40 points?
Yep, and they lose.
40-plus points, and they lose there. So he scored 40, 29, in two of his three losses. His kicker misses a field goal.
Yeah.
probably, you know, one of the better kickers in the game with Greg Zuerlein.
Yeah.
And his defense lets up 55 to Jameis Winston. Like, he put up 40. If you're a quarterback and you put a 40 burger up on the board, you expect to win that football game.
But they won at Carolina, which was a game I thought they could have lost. But they won at Carolina 30-27. They win at home against New Orleans 27-9. They win at Cleveland 20-13.
Yeah, they got the.
And they've been a dumpster fire since.
They got the ultimate remedy coming up, though, in Atlanta.
So Atlanta thought they tied the game against the Cardinals on the road. One of the most veteran and steady kickers, Matt Bryant, missed on an extra point. I've seen some disappointed kickers in my day.
Yeah, he was.
That was about as distraught as I've ever seen.
He was ready to throw up.
Yeah. I mean, Norwood with the Bills is about the only one I could in the Super Bowl against the Giants. That's the only one I could think of. He was pretty distraught afterward.
No, how about what's-his-name for the Saints? It's a great – somebody from the Saints, remember, missed the extra point that would have – was it a playoff game? Remember the announcer went, no, on the kick.
And there was one of the Andersons for the Vikings.
Other Viking, Blair Walsh, against the Seahawks in the sub-zero.
Negative 10 degrees that day. Oof.
All right.
You've had some – Deuce. Devastating kicks.
But I think yesterday the look on his face was as bad as I've seen. It really was. All right, I want to put a question up on the Twin Peaks Twitter poll. We had four quarterbacks have just garbage days. I'd like to see who our listeners thought had the worst. I'd like Jameis. I would like to nominate Mariota, who got benched. I would like to nominate Josh Rosen, who got benched. And I like to nominate Jared Goff. Who threw for 78 or 79? Which was it, P? It was 79 yards, I think.
78.
70.
Sorry.
I'm giving him too much credit.
Hacking away over here.
So there's four quarterbacks who had the worst day yesterday around the National Football League. I mean, hey, at least Jameis put up 400 yards. Jared Goff wishes he could be Jameis Winston right now.
Yeah, but Jameis also threw five balls to the other team.
Yeah.
That's a high percentage of completions.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a problem. Mariota probably nobody cares about. I mean, Ryan Tannehill back in, everybody. How about that?
But will he start the rest of the year? He might.
Who, Tannehill?
Yeah. Or at least they give him a shot at it.
Well, I don't know if they take the same approach that the Dolphins are with Rosen throwing back out there.
No, I think the Dolphins are doing the right thing.
For now. But, yeah, I mean, the Dolphins could do no wrong, whatever they do. But, you know. The Titans think they're a good team, and they see the season. What's the Titans record? Titans are sitting at
3-3.
I mean, they're right. I mean, they can't fool around with this quarterback thing.
They're 3-3 every year, and then they'll be 4-4 every, and then they're 5-5.
Titans are 2-4 now.
Two and four.
Yeah,
they'll be 8-8. What? This is an 8-8 team
with Tannehill or with Mariota, who they still have 10 games left.
It's the same guy. It does not matter. It is the same player.
Okay.
You got Houston at 4-2, the Colts at 3-2, and Jacksonville and Tennessee at 2-4. Technically, Tennessee's in last place. At 2-4, they still have a point differential of +6.
That division's getting away from them, too. I mean, tough decision.
Sorry,
Chris. That's right. We're both hacking up along here. Sometimes we hit the cough button, sometimes we don't.
I hit the talk back button, but I coughed at Chris's ear in the other room.
All right. But so quarterback roulette.
When you take away that blowout they had in Cleveland, but they won by 20, it's a different story, but you can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flesh-eating bacteria says, breaking news, Pete Shepard says Jameis Winston has another week to show us what he's got.
I didn't say that at all.
I don't think anybody said that.
I know what he's got. A lot of picks.
Bruce Arians may say that. Bruce Arians seems to be supporting him.
All right, so who had the worst day yesterday in the NFL? Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Jared Goff, Josh Rosen. You can vote on that now at 99.3 ESPN Radio on Twitter.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Tough to overcome 6 turnovers by Jameis. I got to be honest. I mean, Rosen, Jared Goff, 78 yards doesn't look good. But the amazing thing about 6 turnovers by Jameis alone is that Carolina only got 17 points off of him. They could have got 30.
Look, the Buccaneers were in that game till about 4 minutes ago.
I know.
No doubt about it.
Well, they got the Panthers let him back in. It started to get a little out of hand, but geez, I mean.
So, here's a little fun fact I was going to say for later, but I'll do it now. So Jameis had 6 turnovers, right?
Yeah, right.
On this day in 1990, Joe Montana passed for 6 touchdowns versus Atlanta in a game. How about that? Mm. Six touchdowns versus six turnovers.
Hmm.
It's a difference.
That's a big difference. Wow.
And then, the officiating was terrible on the whole again. Terrible. And other people, McAfee came out, really did a great job of ripping and saying exactly what's going on. And you got these people at ESPN looking at him like, it's stuff that Schefter and others will not say. They won't go to that extreme. I don't know why they're afraid. Like what, Roger Goodell's going to send him a memo?
Well, I think that's ruining relationships.
Yeah.
But as opposed to sitting on television and not telling the truth, or when everybody knows the truth, and acting transparent as a quote-unquote journalist.
That's why you have the guy like Pat McAfee, who's not the journalist, who's not the reporter.
Right.
He's there to give the opinion. And then you've got the Schefter who's there Schefter, to just report.
Well, Schefter can't give it a big. He can't go on the air and give. My opinion is the officiating stinks. That's not his job.
No.
His job is to tell me who's starting and who's not so I can get my fantasy football
team.
But
he does get act. Well, not so much that, but I mean, he breaks a lot of news.
That's what it comes down to.
He's there to break stories, and I get all that. But it's not just them, it's on NFL Network, too. They are afraid to speak the truth when everybody is seeing what is happening. Very few people come out and say it. And even on ESPN, very rarely do you get somebody. Rex Ryan's one of them. God bless him. He'll come out and tell you.
It takes Tom Brady turning off his TV on a Thursday night to get some action.
I mean, well, one for 20 on this rule about the challenging of the pass interference rule. It's one for 25 now. It's time to, they get rid of rules or they tweak rules during the season. Get rid of this one because it is just confusing the hell out of the official. They don't know what to do.
I actually like keeping it right now.
You got to keep it through the playoffs now.
Well, and I like just keeping it. The coaches have to know, unless it is to the extent of the NFC Championship game, this thing is not getting overturned.
That's
so don't waste the timeout.
Right.
That's what you're doing when you throw that flag.
Yep.
Unless it is clear as day, defender gets there before the receiver, grabs his arms, knocks him down. It's not getting overturned, so I'm actually kind of liking that they're at least figuring out where that line is.
But we wasted 24 timeouts.
But then you got yesterday where Travis Kelce's run down the field and gets absolutely just molested, so to speak. Football molested. Just grabbed, groped, prodded, and thrown to the ground, and they don't call anything.
I didn't see it, so I don't.
I did.
Yeah, I don't.
You will see it. And they put the flag. Then they call defensive pass interference in the end zone. Then he pick up the flag. Mm. And Kelce got just absolutely beat up after the 5 yards and thrown to the ground, and there was no call. It doesn't get more egregious than that.
Kelce's a big boy. He can handle himself.
That's not the point.
Let's go to the phones at 239-337 ESPN. Yeah. Wings up! What's up? You're on with Sheeman and Shepard.
What's up?
What's up, guys?
How are you?
What's happening?
I'm here to settle a debate that I've been having with a couple of my friends.
Yes.
Do we think that this Mariota-Winston duo at number one and number two, where they were drafted, is that the worst it's ever been, like the worst class? Because we had one get benched this week, and we had one throw enough picks to fill up an entire year's stat sheet. So I want to know what you guys think.
It depends how you want to break it down to other guys that got picked in the draft. I mean, who was the third quarterback drafted after Peyton Manning and what's his face out of Washington?
Ryan Leaf.
Yeah.
Ryan Leaf obviously was horrible. Peyton Manning worked out, and then I'm kind of curious who that third guy was in that particular draft. But I'm trying to think.
I can't remember in recent memory having a number one and a number two overall pick just be this bad for this long. I mean, Mariota went to the playoffs once, but they haven't really shown us anything so far in their careers to show they can be the guy.
I think it's an excellent question. Mm. Thanks, Wings Up. I appreciate it because
you can look it up.
Yeah,
what was that? 90s?
2002 was pretty bad. That's the year David Carr went number one and Joey Harrington went number three.
Joey Harrington, get it right.
Yeah. That was pretty bad.
That's right up there. That's right up there. Now, David Carr, he just got killed because he was sacked 70 times that year. And Joey Bleeping Harrington.
Right, here's the 98 draft. So Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf, 1-2. And then the next quarterback drafted, the third, by the way, was Andre Wadsworth, defensive end. Very good player for time. Let's see. Then all the way down, the next quarterback drafted. Mm-hmm. Oof, I am. Okay. Charlie Batch at pick number 60 going to Detroit.
Charlie Batch had a very serviceable career.
He was fine.
Yeah. I wouldn't call him a bust. He was a serviceable back. here, Winnie the Pooh says Jamarcus Russell and Brady Quinn, except Brady Quinn was at the back end of the first round. I mean, we're talking Mariota and Jameis right at the top.
And we're talking about, but after Peyton and Ryan Leaf, you had, I mean, down to 60 is your quarterback, and that's Charlie Batch. And then after that, next one was Scott Frost at pick number 67 and went to the Jets.
2015 quarterback class, maybe the worst ever. That's Jameis and Marcus Mariota, 1-2. Yeah. The other quarterback selected, Garrett Grayson, Sean Mannion, Bryce Petty, Brett Hundley, and Trevor Siemian.
Oh, my God.
That's what they call a light draft.
That's horrendous.
If you needed a quarterback that year, you're in trouble.
And it goes back to, like, looking at the 2017 draft where you got the Bears trading up to number two to select Mitchell Trubisky, the other two quarterbacks to go in the first round.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson that year.
Yeah.
10 and 12.
What a difference. They're good friends, as everybody knows.
239, Tim Couch and Akili Smith. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I was a big Tim Couch guy. I thought he was going to be really good. He had a couple of decent moments for the Browns, but really disappointing.
I called an Akili Smith game in NFL Europe when he was trying to make his way back. Let's go to the phones. Sean wants to talk about the Kelce pass interference call. Sean, you're on with Sheeman at Shepherd. Go ahead.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about that Kelce play.
Yeah.
It was a kind of a turning point in that game. Kelce was just tackled and mauled.
Yep.
And Mahomes seen that and decided to go to the end zone.
Yeah, because they threw the flag.
To the end zone to try to get a touchdown, and it gets picked off because they called the holding on that flag, and that's not who he decided to throw it to. He decided to throw it to the end zone. They pick up that flag, which doesn't make any sense because he's seen that, so he thought he had a play, a free play, goes to the end zone, gets picked off. Thought he was going to get the ball back.
Yep.
But intercepted in the end zone. It's kind of a turning point. Our defense still couldn't stop the run. They still had their way with us running the ball. We couldn't make a stop when we need to, but it was still a turning point. Took points off the board, and it hurt us.
You're absolutely right. It's a great point, Sean. It was the turning point of the game. I know Tony Dungy went off on it last night, as a lot of people did.
Yeah.
It was just a pathetic call. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. I mean, does everybody just eat stupid in black and white striped shirts every day, you know, on Sundays? I mean, I don't get it. But you could tell they're scared, Sean. You ever see these officials now when they huddle? Oh, my God. What did I do? Did I do the right thing? What should I do? I just think they're very confused. I'm confused.
You should be an official, Pete.
No, you don't want me to be an official.
Why not? Set them straight. All right, we kind of buttoned up everything around the NFL. Still, your calls are welcome at 239-337-ESPN. Believe it or not, I mean,
can we get to the 2016 draft class? Because I know that we're quick to anoint because both of these guys' teams have been to the Super Bowl.
Okay. What we got?
Jared Goff and Carson Wentz went 1-2 that year.
And now there's a lot of people very disappointed with both of those
quarterbacks. And they're both 3-3, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
both don't look great right now.
Right. Not the worst all time. I think we got to look at that.
But Carson Wentz was on his way to MVP until he got hurt. He hasn't really been the same since.
Again, 306 yards yesterday, 2 touchdowns and a pick, 26 of 40.
But when you draft a quarterback number one, Chris, your best case scenario is you're in a Super Bowl within 5 years. Now, it never works out that way, hardly.
Right.
But for them, it did.
Yeah.
Who was the
third
hold
guy? On.
Who was the third
it was
guy?
Nick, Nick Foles is the one that was playing in the Super Bowl.
I said their teams.
Yeah.
I didn't say them.
Yeah.
You know what? The 2002 draft pick, 1-2, maybe worst all time.
Derek Carr.
No, 2002. That's Andrew Luck and RG3. Neither guy, Andrew Luck's not in the league anymore. RG3 is a backup in Baltimore now.
RG3 lasted longer than Andrew Luck in this league.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother asterisk with Andrew Luck, right?
Oh, it's a huge one.
You can't say he was a bust. He's just not here anymore.
Okay, he wasn't a bust, but he played for 7 seasons.
Well, 6 of
them. He played 6 seasons.
Yeah.
His team never got to a Super Bowl. I get that I'm being a little unfair here because the guy did retire, and his team, had he been on that roster, I think would be the favorites to come out of the NFC or AFC South this year.
Yeah. I think it's a wonderful conversation.
I don't know.
It's compelling radio, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Get to 2003. Did you mention 2003? Carson Palmer was number one overall. Your Lions picked Charles Rogers, the wide receiver. That was a Matt Millen pick, right?
Another Matt Rogers. I'm sorry. I'm getting my receivers mixed up. Yeah, it didn't work out for us.
No.
Yeah, 03. Palmer, Leftwich, Kyle Bowler, Rex Grossman, all first-rounders.
Yep.
Okay, Rex Grossman got to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Carson Palmer had a nice career. I mean, he didn't have a ring for it, but he had a nice career.
He's in the Ring of Honor in Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. I have no problem with taking Carson Palmer at that time, coming off of Southern Cal and a Heisman Trophy. He was the number one pick. He just didn't win a Super Bowl.
I don't know. Best quarterback was undrafted that year.
Who?
Tony Romo.
Really?
Eastern Illinois, right?
One of those directional Illinois.
Yep.
I get that in Kurt Warner's
Speaking of Illinois.
Yes.
Nice going, Harbaugh.
What happened?
That was a game.
Oh.
It was 25-28 in the third quarter.
Fourth quarter. After being up 28-0.
In fact, when I was getting ready to send it to break, I wanted to talk some college football. Yeah. We haven't even really talked about LSU Florida at all yet.
I know.
And it was like the game of the year.
It was fantastic.
So we'll get into some of that as well. And don't forget an OJ tweet coming up before the end of the hour. So stay with us. And don't forget tonight, the game of the year in the National Football League. The Detroit Lions rolling into the unfrozen tundra of Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers on Monday Night Football at 7:30, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Sheema to Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a Monday. Don't forget, tomorrow is the third Tuesday of the month. We're going to be out the Naples-Fort Myers Greyhound track playing some poker at 7 o'clock, and every one of you are invited to join us. $100 bounties to knock us out. That's cold cash. Cold cash, homie, right there on the spot.
Straight.
Straight, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
West Side.
No, that's the Randy Moss line.
Thank you, Chris, for the assist. Did I mention I went 8-0 in the pigskin picks just to make myself look a little better right there? I did. I'm in first place. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I can't hear myself now. Must be this cold. All right.
How'd you get through the doorway today?
How'd I get through the doorway? Well, my ginormous head?
The head is so big.
Oh, let me tell you. Sometimes it's difficult being me. I'm used to it. I'm used to being me after
James
all these
Taylor's
years.
James Taylor's
underrated. What?
James Taylor, underrated.
James Taylor's good.
Said it.
He's kind of a two-hit wonder, but the two are really good.
No, he's got a James, ton of hits.
No, yeah, you're so off base.
No.
Oh, please.
I disagree.
He's got a ton of hits. I'm not a huge
ton.
Fan of
he's
his.
Got two good There's, ones.
No, he's this got a one ton and the other of one. Hits. Go look it up. What are you getting two from?
Two?
He gets at least two on every album.
Fire and Rain. And this one.
Carolina in My Mind.
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
That's a cover. He didn't write that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great one.
That's a great hit.
Next.
Oh,
he's got so many hits. I mean, I can name like 20 Michael Jackson songs right now off the top of my head.
Fire and Rain.
That's what I just said.
Oh,
Fire
sorry.
And Rain.
You've Got a Friend.
Yep, that's.
Oh, you snuck a third one in there.
Yep, there you go.
All
More
right.
than that.
Three-hit wonder.
Three-hit wonder. How many albums do you have?
He has a Greatest Hits Volume 1 and Volume 2.
That's a stretch.
Handyman.
Mexico. Sweet Baby James.
Sweet Baby James?
Yeah.
Absolutely. What do you mean,
What calls hits Mexico sounds racist to me. What is
it? Not racist. It's a song. I don't even know what the song is, to be honest. I'd imagine it's about Mexico.
I've never heard it.
You don't like him because he's from Boston.
Oh, I didn't even know that about him. No, I really don't like him.
How do you not know that?
Because Boston's from Boston.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go.
Really?
You know what? Overrated.
Of course he is.
Hey, let's go to the phone.
No, you know why? You know where he lives now?
Where?
He lives in North Carolina. I think he lives in Chapel Hill.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not overrated.
I really don't like it.
Perfectly rated. How about that?
Yep. Let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN. Carlos in Port Charlotte wants to talk some Dolphins. Fins up, everybody. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, guys. How are we doing?
Very good. Very good.
Listen, as a Dolphins fan yesterday, I was on the edge. I'm like, please don't make that 2-point conversion. Do not win this game.
Yes. Right.
Well, listen, there is 32 teams in this league. At the end of the day, 31 of them is going to wish they were in the Dolphins' position come January. Okay? Mm-hmm. About $120 million in cap space. Number one draft pick. Who would not want that?
You're right. I think you're right.
Great.
I think you only got to worry about the Bengals now.
Exactly. So I think the shock is over. The disappointment is over. We're good now. We're all good. So,
yeah. Carlos, you only got 10 more weeks of this left. You're in great shape. You're almost there.
We're in great shape. Yeah. Just gotta win one. Let it be against the Jets. Okay?
All right.
Well, they're in Buffalo next week.
So. Thank you, Carlos. I appreciate it.
Let it beat the Jets.
See, sounds like a very happy Dolphins fan. He's on board with the
program. I got my Dolphins hat on today. I would not have worn it had the Fins won yesterday.
Really?
I'm excited.
Would you come in here with the team from Washington's hat?
No, I don't have one of their hats.
No, I don't think so.
I recently did a purge of my hat collection.
Really?
And I'm starting to regret it now.
What'd you throw away? What did your wife throw away?
No, I did this.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Nobody does that. No man throws out his hats
threw
on his own.
Away.
Nobody puts Chris in a corner.
A Rays hat. I threw away a Nats hat.
Why'd you throw away Rays hat?
Why'd you throw a Rays hat? They were the story last week.
It was from high school. It was really.
Now, once they get that salt stain that you can't wash
hat?
Out anymore,
no.
And the sweat.
No, this was. I had to throw away a Devil Rays hat because my head has grown.
Your head has grown.
Yeah.
Since when?
I don't know, but a 7 1/8 no longer fits. I'm 7 1/4 at the smallest.
Well, he takes steroids,
preferably 7 3/8.
He just said, I have a big head. I'm practically an 8-incher.
He's going Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
So I had to go through a purge.
Really?
A couple Tar Heel hats got thrown out. Alabama hat that was just disgusting. It was white when I bought it. It had turned yellow.
White hats are very difficult.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you bought me a light colored hat from Augusta, and I never wear it like where I'm going to sweat. I only wear that where I'm going to look good because I don't want to ruin that one.
It's khaki.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a light khaki. I mean, if I sweat, it would ruin it immediately.
But see, I got Pete a black hat.
Yeah, and I use that.
And the black hat,
you wash it.
Yeah, show the sweat lines on
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. It's a thing called a washing machine.
Actually, you know how you're supposed to do it? Just learn this little trick. Dishwasher.
Yeah?
Oh, I've heard that
will
too.
I've heard that too. Will it keep its form?
I guess.
I know you can buy those like plastic things that are hat-shaped you can put inside of it.
Yeah.
The dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want your head sweat all over my dishes when they get washed.
Well, there's dirty stuff going on in there as well.
I don't know. Do it separately.
Wow.
Quick wash. Quick rinse. 19 points text again. Craig bragging about going 8-0 in the pigskin picks after saying he was going the opposite of what he actually thought. LOL, bet any money on those picks? As a matter of fact, did okay this weekend. Did really well.
Coached you well.
So now the next
Craig's
big...
asking when NBA games are going to start.
This is a problem,
no,
Craig.
No, what's a problem is I was asking him this morning when he got in here about the NHL. I've never been on
a week, tonight, the NBA starts.
I'm all
October
in.
October 21st.
I'm all in, baby.
My Bruins just won 4-2 at the Garden against Anaheim. Dave Pastrnak scored all 4 goals. That's unbelievable.
I'm going to be
5-1, baby.
I'm going to be parlaying my way to my daughter's tuition.
Nice.
Said every broke person ever. Next big game for the Miami Dolphins is going to be November 9th. That's when Alabama hosts LSU. You can look at the potential top 2 picks.
Oh.
Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa going at each other.
Going with that. Now, Gator fan, and as you know, we are a Gator affiliate and a proud one here at 99.3 ESPN. You got nothing to lay your head down about. That was an awesome game. Awesome effort. On both sides?
Excellent atmosphere.
Great atmosphere. I mean, it was almost palpable. That was a lot of fun on Saturday night watching that game. I know it wasn't the outcome that Gator fan wanted.
Well, but if you just looked at the score, you'd say, Florida had a lead in the fourth quarter.
They had a lead in the fourth quarter. Yeah. They were about to score a touchdown to tie the thing up at 35 4 or 5 minutes to go in the game. LSU made a hell of a play on defense. That was the difference in the game.
I also think that stadium was the difference in the game, too.
Oh,
if that game was in Florida, might have been a different outcome. But
absolutely.
That crowd was – it was just – the whole day was awesome. They had basically 2 game days, one in Clemson and one in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
And the whole day was just great. But that was it was just great.
If you're a Gator fan, you've got to be so pleased with the direction of your program right now.
Yeah.
We had a text, and I can't find it right now, basically asking us, you know, what do you guys think – of Emory Jones, the backup quarterback for Florida right now behind Kyle Trask.
I liked how he was used.
Well, I disagree with you. I thought that was a huge mistake bringing him in that one series in the third quarter. It ruined all their momentum and wasted a possession, in my opinion.
Well, but about the series before that when he came in, he did. I thought it added that, some momentum. I get it, though.
He fits the mold of what a Dan Mullen quarterback is, the running, running threat, something that Kyle Trask doesn't really bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And if he can throw it efficiently, I mean, you're set up to where this Gator program – it's set up now for the next 5-6 years to be very successful, and we'll continue to talk about them being in the top 10.
But if I remember correctly, he didn't he come in for a 3-and-out series, and then he just came in for like a second down play.
It was a direct snap to him at one point. Yeah. There was one there,
I didn't like that whole 3-and-out. I thought that was a wasted series when we were going back and forth.
But their freshman cornerback there, Derek Stingley Jr., what a play he made for LSU. That was in the end zone in the fourth quarter.
I thought you could
trying to tie the game.
I thought you could see the NFL on NFL talent when it was Florida secondary going up against LSU's wide receiving core.
You know, I thought at the end of the game when Florida was trying to score, and I'm looking at those eight defensive backs just in their zone, just ready to go. There was no room for anybody to throw a ball in there. I mean, that defense was just a lot of fun to watch.
And they're up to number two in the AP poll, three in the coaches' poll, LSU. And the Gators fell to, eight? They only dropped one spot.
Did they fall to eight?
Yeah.
I thought they're 10 because Georgia's nine.
No, Georgia's 10.
Wait a minute. I have it right here. How are you looking at it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Going into that game in a couple weekends in Jacksonville, if you're a Gator fan, I think you feel pretty good about that
game. Well, they're another team. They went out. They still control their own destiny, too, in a lot of ways.
Hmm.
Yeah, they only fell to nine.
All right.
And Notre Dame, I don't think Notre Dame should have jumped them. Notre Dame hung on to a average USC team. They blew a big lead. And Notre Dame jumped up a spot. Florida fell two spots. But I don't think Notre Dame. But Florida played Notre Dame. What do you think would win?
I was just going to ask you the same question. Florida would crush Notre Dame right now.
I don't know about crushing them, but I think they'd win by at least a touchdown. Their defense would stymie Notre Dame, I think.
Notre Dame does not belong.
Here we go. Okay, it was Gunpowder who sent us that text I was looking for. He said, here, I'll send it again. Jones or Trask, huge Gator fan, never liked Franks. I like what Trask is doing, but every time Jones came in, it seems like our offense had a spark, and he's proven that he can throw the ball. The dual threat keeps defenses honest.
What spark? Did I miss a series? He did a 3-and-out, and then he did a one play on second down, and then was back out.
No, he was in there for
there's part of the Auburn game as well where the kid comes in when Trask leaves, and he goes 5-for-7. Leads him down the field on a field goal scoring drive.
All right.
And I thought he played well against LSU.
He also rushed for 36 yards on 9 carries.
All right. Do we go to Randy Rook? We're late for a break, but we're going to squeeze in Randy. He's a regular. Go Gators. Randy, what's up?
Hey, Randy.
All right. Real quick, y'all on the hats, you need to wear your hats like the brothers. Get a little do-rag, put it on, and put your head over the do-rag and it won't sweat. That's the first one.
I look awesome in a do-rag, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Second of all, real quick, it wasn't a total loss because the dogs went down and so did the Noles, so I'll take it. I'm out.
Yeah. All right, Randy dropping the mic on
again,
that one.
Again, Florida State, no bad spot, no chance.
Yeah, that was
all.
Done.
None. Zero.
Seminole Nation texting in, I wish FSU was heading in the same direction as the Gators. Gators totally nailed their coaching hire with Mullen, while FSU will continue to live in mediocrity. Agreed.
All right, we'll continue talking college football.
I don't know about that.
And, on a good day.
I know you guys don't know what a clock is, but we're late. And we've got an OJ tweet next.
It's that round thing.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Some people call me the space cowboy.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. All right, short segment here, so let's get to it. We normally reserve this time for O.J. Simpson when he's on Twitter. I heard the first one over the weekend when he sounded very distraught over D-Hop, his receiver, if I'm not mistaken. But, Pete, you said you have discovered two more since
yesterday
afternoon.
Yeah.
So this is all him at the club, at the golf course. He goes there every Sunday and watches fantasy football,
The country club.
Country club.
You said the club.
Oh, like I'm 50? Like in the club?
Like, right.
Get out the club.
All right. Pete has no idea what I just said.
Yeah, I do.
All right, let's fire away. O.J. Simpson, a triple spin.
Yeah, this is So It Continues. That's his little headline.
Right. Hey, Twitter world. Sunday. My bad luck continues. My tight end, Dishley, he's already got me 4 touchdowns, Achilles. So he joins the other marching wounded that I have. I got a question, Watson, down in Houston. I understand Fuller is great when you throw the ball to him, but I'm watching this game today. Fuller's double team. Isn't DeAndre Hopkins like one of the top three receivers in the game of football? Can he throw one or two more passes to him? Please? Pretty please? I'm just saying. Take care.
Wow. So what? He sounds very distraught. How does he start it off that he's very
Because
he's upset?
Seattle's tight end got hurt and out.
By the way, ruptured Achilles done for the year.
Yeah, that was ugly.
So what did OJ say there?
He wanted more Hopkins.
What did he say about his state of being? That
his fantasy team continues. Woe is me. Everybody's
the Walking
hurt.
Dead. Walking Injured.
Walking Injured, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
By the way,
you know who else is dead?
Fantasy players. Luke Wilson becomes a sneaky little tight end play now that Will Dissly is out.
All right.
Yeah, that Luke Wilson.
I had him on my team yesterday.
I had
Luke Wilson or Dissly?
I had Dissly.
I had Wilson.
How'd I do?
I've got our fantasy football performances, by the way.
All right, let's save them for 4 o'clock.
All right.
We got OJ to mow through here. All right, what else we got?
All right, here's another OJ. Craig. This is 22 hours ago. Next week, I'll be the juice again. That is his headline. Good Lord.
Hey, Twitter world. Yours truly at my normal heart for Sunday fantasy football. Getting a lot of tweets. People are asking me about my fantasy team. Okay.
No,
right now, I have Matt Ryan. He normally gets me 300 yards. Even though
good game.
A lot of stress with him right now with the interceptions. Also have Wentz as a backup. But starting next week, despite all my problems, I will be strong again. My two running backs are Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs, the rookie for the Raiders, has been doing great. My starting wide receivers are Michael Thomas from New Orleans and DeAndre Hopkins from Houston. Can't get two better receivers than that. I lost my tight end Disley from the Seahawks. So I don't know who I'm going to pick up to try to run at tight end. My defense is the 49ers and others, but I will run the 49ers. So despite all my problems this week, despite all my problems in the past, next week I might be strong again and I might be tough. The name of my team is the Electric Company. I named them after my offensive line in Buffalo because they turn on the juice. So hopefully next week they will turn me on.
Wow.
In any event,
wow.
Hope you're doing well. I'm having a bad week this week. Next week I get tough again.
Bad week. You know who else is having a bad week? Ron and Nicole.
Take care.
All right.
Oh, what a
take care.
The Electric Company. You know Morgan Freeman? That was like one of his first jobs on the Electric Company.
Really?
Yeah.
Great actor.
The offensive line?
Huh?
In Buffalo, his offensive line was called the Electric Company. The show, The Electric Company.
Oh, there was a show.
Which followed Sesame Street. Oh. And then before Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Did you see the SNL skit this weekend?
No.
Yes.
On the Grinch? The Grouch.
Yeah.
Oh, Oscar?
It was a play on the
Hilarious.
Joker.
Hilarious. Oh, absolutely hilarious.
It was Hopper from Stranger Things.
Oh, okay. Oh,
he did this really dark, the Grouch, how he became the Grouch, and how he's going to go live in the garbage can.
It was the best part of the show.
They won't do that anymore at Sesame Street.
Oh,
it was hilarious. They don't want to portray homeless people. And like Stillman this week said... That linebacker was all over that like a hobo on a sandwich, and people were giving us a funny line. Yeah. We used to dress up as hobos at Halloween.
That was a standard go-to. Can't do it now.
Sure you can.
All right.
I feel like there are certain costumes that used to happen that maybe shouldn't have happened.
Really? All right. Coming up, we still have a third OJ to get to. We'll update on fantasy that Chris is going to tell us how we did on our Sheeman and Shepherd fantasy picks on 99.3 ESPN, among other things. So stay with us, and don't forget Wikipedia in the 4 o'clock hour. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.